Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen Augustine, and this is Healing House Radio. And today's kind of a different day because I am not broadcasting as I usually do. I am just going to be straight over the phone on this one because I'm calling in on my birthday. So this is going to be one of those shows that I will not be able to actually see the screen or, you know, see if callers are coming in. And that's why I count on my ever-present goddess of efficiency, producer Kina, who will break in if somebody calls and would like to ask the question. She will come on in and announce the question. So let's head right into this one, shall we? Today we're going to be talking about, and I called this episode, I Can See There From Here. And what I mean by that is that the ability to look past the moment that we are in and see into what is possible. It's all story. Basically, anything that happens in the next 30 seconds, in the next 30 years, in the next 300 years, what we believe will probably happen or could happen is essentially a story we're telling ourselves. And as I was told a long time ago, if you have to tell yourself a story, tell yourself a good one. So let's look at telling ourselves some good stories. When we are in a moment of stress, when we're in a moment of indecision, when we're in one of those moments where we're feeling kind of powerless, one of the things that is tremendously helpful is the ability to go, okay, this moment is lousy. I don't like it. I can't control it, and it scares me. And there is this amazing future moment that's out there, and it's waiting. And whether it's worse than the moment we're in or better than the moment we're in, we're not going to know till we get there. But we can think how we would like it to be. And maybe just that ability to believe that it could be better than what it is, than this moment, makes the difference between hope and despair. It allows us to let go of what we can't control, to figure, okay, I've taken care of all these things that I can handle, but there's this big piece that I can't handle that is not available to me. So I can either choose to just sit here and dwell on how miserable it is or how unfair it is or how bad it is that other people are not suffering as I am, or I can remind myself that it's fun until it's not, and it sucks till it doesn't. I can make sure that I always remember that I've had some really horrible times in the past. And even though when I was in them, I thought they would never end, and it just took all of my hope away from me, there was always that little bit that said, you know what? This is ultimately going to pass. Ultimately, this will change. It won't last forever. And I would cling to that one thought, this isn't going to last forever. Each and every day that I spend in this is one less day ahead of me. And just by holding on to that, it would allow me to keep that hope and that faith alive within my own heart. It allows us to remember that everything is temporary. Even the good stuff is temporary. When you're having a great time and everything is lining up for you and all these doors are opening up, we've got to remember that that's temporary. We've got to remember that ultimately we're going to go back into that phase of being tested. We talk often about, you know, when we're tested and that we gain all these tools, and you know, people who are spiritually minded and spiritually oriented, you know, we study a lot, we read a lot, we experience a lot, and we get tools in our toolkit. Well, at some point, those tools are going to be tested, and that's when it's not so fun. And it demands a lot of us. Life can really demand a lot from us. Some days are really easy, and other days, there's a phrase in certain meditative practices. I don't know how many people are familiar with breath works, but there's a phase in a breath work where basically it's a process by using a particular type of breathing, it induces a non-ordinary state of consciousness, an altered state of consciousness. And sometimes that altered state goes into really hard, unpleasant, horrific places within us, because that's where we need to go to find healing. And that stage is often referred to as hell no exit. And there's a lot of us stuck in that when, you know, every once in a while, it is just, it seems one thing on top of another on top of another. How do we get ourselves in our minds, bodies, and spirits past the moment that we're in? Well, my friends, part of that is by remembering that it is a moment. It may be a long moment, but it's still a moment. There is still something to look forward to at the end of it. There's the gift that comes at the end of it. There is that place of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I survived that. But I did. And I'm stronger. I'm stronger than I ever thought I could be. And that is such an important piece of seeing there from here. Because when you realize that no matter what you're going through, it won't break you unless you choose to be broken. You have the ability to hold on through this. It may be only by your fingernails. It may be at a huge price, but you can survive it. If you can't do it alone, which most of us can't, if it's that bad, reach out, get help, because you know what? Sometimes it's a loved one who can see there from here. They can see past where you're at and remind you of what is waiting on the other side. Remind you why it's worth it to hang in there, why it's worth it to fight. They can remind us that that part is temporary. Find that friend, family member, that person you trust, and allow them to remind you that you can still move forward. It is really, you know, a work. You know, we refer to, you know, a lot of these spiritual processes as a work. And the reason it's a work is because most of the time it's not fun. Most of the time it's not something we would necessarily choose to put ourselves through. And we choose to accept it because we can see that part that is past the yucky, stinky, dark, ugly part. Because all the really great learning processes, all of the really great lessons, all of the strength and the gifts and the wisdom, it comes through that ugly, stinky, dark part. And when you're in the dark and stinky, it's not fun. And you want it to go away. And you want it to stop. And there are even parts where you don't care what the lesson is or how spiritually profound it is. All you know is that in that moment you're scared and it hurts. It hurts in your body. It hurts in your spirit. there are people who go through chronic pain, and my heart just goes out to them. It is a place of just not being able to get out of it. And for those who are suffering from chronic pain, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you every single day. Because it just, you know, it's that thing you can't get away from. How does somebody go through that and see the other side? It may be that it's a very long-term pain condition. And when somebody's in that, it's not just, well, why don't you turn that frown upside down? Or, you know, don't worry, be happy. That's not going to help. And that is its own special kind of work. And I do not make light of what has to be endured sometimes on a physical level, on an emotional level. There are people who suffer every single day, and somehow, God bless them, or your vision of God, they find a way to make it through. They find a way to find balance with it. They find a way to find peace with it. People who are wrapped up in emotional pain or in some sort of psychological issue, biochemical issue, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, dementia, all those who are trapped in a moment that is really horrible. It's about being able to find that tiny little glimmer of what could be. If you have to tell yourself a story, tell yourself a good one. And maybe the only good part of it is that one day it will end. It will shift. And I would imagine that the only thing worse than being the person is having to observe someone who is in that type of pain, discomfort, you know, torment, and there's nothing that you can do about it. The only thing you can do is to be there for them, to accept them unconditionally as they are in each moment, and not through your words, but through your presence, through your connection, through your heart, remind them that they're not alone and that no matter what, they are going to be loved, that there's somebody who is there, who is helping them. You see what is possible when somebody else can't. And we do that for each other. That's part of why we're here, in my humble opinion, is to bear witness for one another. The good, the bad, and definitely the ugly. So that we can be able to help and be helped. It's a two-way street because there are times when we're the person being the helper and there's the times when it's us in the dark and stinky. How to see there from here. Sometimes it's a momentary glance and other times it's held so solid and that's what you focus on. You know what? There's a light right over there when you're surrounded by darkness and you see that one spot of light and you just move towards it. You keep going and you keep going because you know at some point you're going to get there. And that's where the light is. And no matter how dark it is, there's always that light. We just have to find it. And once we do find it, we got to hold on to it. Because sometimes hope is all we have. It is the greatest gift, or one of the greatest gifts that we have, is the ability to hope, the ability to believe that tomorrow can be better than today, the ability that even at those darkest times we remember, you know what, I've been in dark times before, and at that time I thought it would end me. I've
believe that I couldn't get past it, but I did. And if I could do it then, I can do it now. It's having the patience to wait it out. And having the wisdom to know when it's time to take action and what action to take. We have to figure out what is it that we need to be doing in that particular moment to help get to there from here. Sometimes it's just sitting down and stop trying to get anywhere. Calm yourself, sit down, and wait. Wait for that perfect moment to act, because in that moment, that's when you'll know what to do. It may be you don't know what to do right now. And if you don't know what to do, then probably the best thing to do is nothing. Figure it out. If you don't know what to do, find somebody who you figure may have an idea as to what to do. Connect to community. Because if you're in a space where you can't see there from here, surround yourself with people who can. Make sure there's at least one person that you know and you trust, who's not going to be a Pollyanna, who's not going to be, and for those who don't know that reference, it was a story about a little girl who never saw anything bad in anything. It was an old Walt Disney film. And the idea was that she was viewed as being unrealistic, that she would be end up being hurt in life because she never accepted anything but the absolute best. Everything was perfect. And there's a light and shadow side to that. If you can hold that no matter what, you're okay, that's a very cool thing. There's a Zen saying that when you can learn to love hell, you will always be in heaven. And that's a part of that. Now, the shadow side is when it's unrealistic, when it's self-delusional. When action should be taken and things need to be addressed and someone is sitting there saying, nope, everything's fine, all is well, no problem. Well, actually, we do have a problem, you know, we're on a ship that's sinking. Oh, no, it's not, it's fine. You know, we have to be able to key in to those pieces that we can do something about. And the rest, well, if there's nothing you can do about it, then don't try. Do what you can about the things you can. I have taken on as sort of a personal philosophy that I am going to put the amount of worry energy into any issue that is directly proportionate to the amount of control I have. If I have 100% control over a situation, I will put 100% of my worry into it, and I will fuel that with action. It's like, wow, that is requiring my attention. I got to take care of this. This is a problem. Okay, I can do this, 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 and this. I've got a whole ton of options, so I'm going to take action, take one of them, and make a change. Now, if it's a situation I have no control over, I choose not to invest my worry into something that I cannot change. And the thing about worrying is that it's pretty much wasted energy, because if everything works out, you put yourself through it for nothing. And if everything doesn't work out, it did not help. Are we going to be concerned about our loved ones? Absolutely. 100%. What do we do with that concern? Do we make it a cycle that just goes in our head and upsets us? Or do we take a look at, okay, is there anything about this that I can and should directly affect? Because sometimes people have to go through what they need to go through. They need to go through Hell No Exit, because on the other side of it is a way for them to grow as an individual. If things are made too easy, then we don't get the lesson. We don't really grow quite as much from it. It's the burnt hand that teaches best. Do we want people to be just kind of left to their own, you know, whatever? No, we want to support them in the best way we can. But understand what that support means. What is it that ultimately will serve that person? If a little bit of struggle is going to help, or maybe sometimes even a lot of struggle, to allow them to get from where they are to where they're meant to be, that's not necessarily the best thing to interfere with. Can we support them through that process? Absolutely. You can be there, let them know that you're there with them, that they're not alone, and that they have the freedom to choose how they manage it, and support them in that. If they choose to take that harder road, be right there with them. Say, okay, you know, you're walking this road, I'm walking it with you. I can't make it better, but I can make sure that you've got someone who's got your back. And having their back does not mean making it easy. They can get there from here without being carried, because that's the whole point. Sometimes we just have to be in that place of worry, and that's when we realize how strong we are. That's when we get to the other side, there's that sense of accomplishment. There's that sense of pride. Otherwise, it's like telling somebody they're going to take a test and you give them all the answers. What is it do they gain from it? Not a whole lot. And they don't feel any better about themselves. You know, I mean, I would rather get a low grade, honestly, and believe me, I've gotten plenty of them, than to get a high grade and know in my heart I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't learn from it. And while I may have fixed a short-term problem, the fact that I passed the test means that I'm not going to be prepared for the next one, because there's always another one that comes. There's always a new test. There's always that next stage to what we're going through, that next level. As I mentioned, today is my 51st birthday. I don't think I mentioned it was my 51st, but hey, I've got no problem with that. Which, technically, since we celebrate a birthday at the end of the year, I suppose technically that would mean I have today completed my 51st year and am beginning my 52nd. So, either way, however you hold it, I'm in my early 50s. And when I was younger, when I was 15, I could definitely not see 51 from 15. It seemed a million miles away. The idea of the turn of the century. I mean, some of you may be old enough to remember what it was like before cable television and phones that were attached to walls by cords. And it was a different time. And the idea of the year 2000, I was thinking we'd have jetpacks and rockets. Now, I could see there from where I was. I had this whole vision of what the world was going to be like in the year 2000. It's like, yeah, I can see it. But that wasn't what it was. By the time I got here from there, it was an entirely different experience. Is my life the way I envisioned it that it would be when I was 15, when I was 20, when I was 25? Nope. I had no idea what the next 25 years would bring. At 25, I was married and a mother. And I had this entire vision of what my life would be like all the way, you know, to the grave. I thought I could see there from here. And as I grew, as life happened, as life changed, so did my vision of what was there. When I was 25, I figured I knew exactly what my life would be like when I was 50. And it turned out that I was wrong. And a part of me is really glad I was. Because what I envisioned was nowhere near as amazing as what my life became. So now, as I turn 51, and I look at what life has brought to me and what life could potentially bring, I think I can see there from here. But this time, I know that that's a story, and it's a pretty good one. I think I have a very good story figured out for, you know, my next 25 years. And I know that it could be even more amazing than what I can envision. And I know that whatever it is, it's going to be interesting. Am I even going to be here for the next 25 years? Well, if I'm not physically here, then that'll even make it more interesting. The point is that when we look to see there from here, maybe that is what's going to be. Maybe it's planned out, or we've had a premonition, or it's all set. But we see one of the theirs from here. There is an infinite number of possible destinations. And the cool part is, once we reach that destination, then we've got a whole bunch of other destinations. That's just one stop. The ultimate there, your guess is as good as mine. Your theory, your belief system, whatever works for you. But just remember, no matter what you envision there to be, know that something's there. And it's going to be amazing. And it's going to lead to something else. It'll just be a stop point, a checkpoint. You know, one of those rest stops as you're driving across country. It's like, okay, you know, you've got a car full of kids. They've all got to go to the bathroom because you shouldn't have stopped for the Slurpees. And all you can think about is like, okay, let's get to the rest stop. And you get there, and everybody runs in and uses the bathroom and takes pictures and, you know, looks at stuff and looks at the big map of where you're at. And then you take a breath, and it's like, okay, we've all had a chance to stretch our legs, take a rest. Now, let's start the next stage of the journey. Let's move forward. Because there's always another there from here. No matter where here is, all you got to do is accept that there's always going to be that next stage, that next step. There's something else. It's out there. And sometimes if you get very, very quiet, you can be able to recognize it. And to hear it and feel it calling to you and feel it pulling to you. Some people call that their life mission or their purpose in life. Maybe. And maybe it's just another rest stop. Maybe it's return and then move forward. So ultimately, my friends, it's not so bad, you know, to be here. Even if here is not fun and it's horrible and it's scary, there's always there. Here is not going to last because we're always in a state of motion. We're always moving forward. So, yeah, you can see there from here. And then when you get there, you'll find out if you were right. Or if it was a lot better than even you thought possible. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me. Thank you for sharing a little bit of my birthday with me. I'll be back next week, and we will see what is there from here. And this is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. I wish you blessings. I wish you fun. I wish you a full appreciation of here and a full appreciation of there. And I wish you the happiest, most amazing possible there. And the happiest, most amazing possible here. Because when we take the time to realize that here is only temporary, where you're at is only a moment, somehow, sometimes it makes us appreciate it that much more. Because no matter what, we are going to get there from here. So, have a great week, and I will see you or speak to you at that time there. Have a wonderful, blessed time and a blessed week. Take care.